Today's shir is Masechta, Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed. We will begin on Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis, on the bottom line. The Mishnah had discussed in which circumstances we were allowed to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah that falls in Shabbos. And the Mishnah said, Amalai, Echad Yavna, both Yavna, Vechad Kamakum Shesh Be Bezdin, or any place that has a Bezdin, we are allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbos. Amrav Huna. So Rav Huna comments, under what circumstances may we blow the shofar in a city that has a Bezdin? V'im Bezdin. He adds the words that has to be with Bezdin. So of course immediately asks the Gemara, my v'im Bezdin. What is meant when Rav Huna uses the words v'im Bezdin? B'fnei Bezdin. It has to be in front of Bezdin. Lafuke, what it's come to teach us, shloi b'fnei bezdin. Even when we're allowing the blowing of the shofar on Shabbos, we're only allowed to blow the shofar in front of bezdin, nowhere else. Shloi b'fnei bezdin deloi. Masa Rava asks the Gemara. We learned in our Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, "Vayzoy sashu shalayim al yaseir al yavna." What made you shalayim different than yavna? When we say we're allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbos, that by Yerushalayim, any city that hears or is close to Yerushalayim is included in the rule of blowing the shofar on Shabbos, whereas in Yavna, they're only allowed to blow the shofar in the Bezdin itself. My, Oizois, what did the Oizois come to teach us? Ilam Kriktani, if we're going to explain that the Mishnah is coming to explain that Yerushalayim is more than Yavna, that all the surrounding cities, all the surrounding area, better said, may be blown in Yerushalayim, not in Yavna. So the Mishnah should have said, Zois mi boilei. We only find one difference between Yavna and Yerushalayim. By saying Va'oid Zois, isn't the Mishnah saying that there is more than one difference? Ella, it must be, the Yerushalayim toikin yechidim, then Yerushalayim, every individual blows for himself. B'Yavna, ain't taken yechidim, whereas in Yavna, only the those appointed by Bezdin may blow, no one else. As Vahaki Asar Yitzchak Bar Yosef says, the Gemara, is that possibly correct? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef came, Kimisayim Shlich Tzibura, Tkiya B'Yavna, when the Shlich Tzibur would finish blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos in Yavna, everybody continued blowing the shofar. So we can't say that that's what made Yerushalayim different than Yavna, that in Yavna only the appointed Shliach Bezdin blows, and here everybody blows. El Alaf, what must be the difference between Yerushalayim and Yavna? The Yerushalayim toikin b'ayim b'zman bezdin, b'ayim shloi b'zman bezdin. Yerushalayim, they blow both when bezdin is in session and when bezdin is not in session. As we're going to learn, this zman bezdin, Rashi says, is up to 6 hours in the day, shal zmanis. That's when bezdin, till when bezdin is in session, and that's when they blow. U'b'yavna, b'zman bezdin in, in the Bezdin, they blow, Shloi Bezdin Loi. But then another time, they didn't blow. But what do we see for here? Habazman Bezdin, that Yavna, yes, we're being careful that we only blow the shofar when Bezdin is in session. But doesn't that mean that at least when Bezdin is in session, Toikin, Vafila Shloi Bezdin Bezdin, then Yerushalayim, you're allowed to blow even, that you're allowed to blow, when you are allowed to blow the shofar, you're allowed to blow it whether Bezdin, whether in the presence of Bezdin, not in the presence of Bezdin, Loi. So the Gemara, that's not the way to understand Yerushalayim, Yavna. That's not the way to understand what's permitted or not. Deal Yerushalayim, Toikin Beim Fnei Bezdin, Beim Shloi Befez Bezdin. Yerushalayim, we could blow in front of Bezdin or not in front of Bezdin. Yavna, Befnei Bezdin in. What in Yavna, only Befnei Bezdin, it's Mutter. Shloi Befez Bezdin, Loi, it's not Mutter. And that's exactly what the way Rav Huna began today's shir. So our Gemara says that in Yavna, when they finished blowing the shofar, everybody blew their own shofar. So the question is, how could they do so? How could they blow the shofar after the zman tkiya shofar? The halacha is that you could only blow the shofar when you have a chiyuv. So the Rishonim want to suggest that from here you see that if it's not with your intention to blow l'shei mitzvah shofar, then you could blow even afterwards. Ikad maslo hadra funapha. But there's a different version of this discussion. The ksiv, the pasuk says regarding Yom Kippur of Yovel, as we keep on saying in Ashurim, they blew the shofar. Says the Gemara, the ksiv, the pasuk says, "B'yom Kippurim taviru shofar b'chol atzmachem." Mlamish kol yoch v'yoch chayav l'tkoya. Everybody has to blow the shofar on the Yom Kippur of the Yovel year. Am Rav Huna, to which Rav Huna comments, "V'im bezdin." And again, ask the Gemara, what is the definition of "im bezdin"? Mizman shebezdin, only when bezdin is in session. Lafuke, what's coming to teach us, shleibe bezman bezdin, when bezdin is not in session, then you're not allowed to blow the tkiyas on Yom Kippur of Yovel. Masav Rava, ask Rava, it says in a brayse of tkiyah Rosh Hashanah, tkiyas shofar Rosh Hashanah, v'yovel, or blowing the shofar on Yovel, doiches haShabbos, is doiches the Shabbos. So of course, the Ramban already points out that we can understand there's a difference between a Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos between a Rosh Hashanah that falls on a weekday, as we've been discussing in our shiurim. But ask the Ramban, how can we say that regarding Yom Kippur? Isn't Yom Kippur always going to be equal to a Shabbos? We know that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Shabbos and Yom Kippur, have the same din. So the Ramban indeed says, when it says Doiches HaShabbos, that's exactly what the Gemara means to say. That even though Yom Kippur has the status of being, even though Yom Kippur has the status of Shabbos, and therefore maybe we would think that you're not allowed to blow the shofar when Yom Kippur, teaches us the Braisa that you may do so. That's the way the Ramban learns. The Tori Evan learns somewhat different. He says that even though we would certainly know that we're allowed to blow the shofar on Yovel, Shofar of Yovel on Yom Kippur, we would think that in a year when Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, we may not blow the Shabbos. We may not blow the Shofar. Because we know that Shabbos is more serious than Yom Kippur. Because in Shabbos, there's a chiyuv skila if one does melacha. Whereas on Yom Kippur, somebody does melacha, there's a chiyuv karis. Another pshat that the Tori Evan suggests, since we're talking about Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, it speaks about Yovel when Yom Kippur. But really, there is no Chiddush on Yovel and Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, the Yovel Doiches Shabbos, Begvulin, outside in all of the cities of Eretz Yisrael, Ish Ubeisei. And this obligation is an obligation on everybody. Ask Gemara, my Ish Ubeisei. What was meant when the Braisa said Ish Ubeisei? Ilema, that everybody, they and their wives, are obligated to hear the shofar. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Can we say that a woman is obligated to hear the shofar? For mitzvah says shizman gramhu. Tkiyah shofar, by definition, only applies to Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur in Yovel. And we know that Komet Seshes Man Groma Noshim Paturus Elav Ish Bebesai, that you could blow the shofar at home. And doesn't that mean that since we're allowing the shofar to be blown at home, it means afilu shloim bebezdin, even shloim bezman bezdin, even when bezdin is not in session. Lo, says the Gemara Lo'olam, what it means is only bezman shebezdin, only when bezdin is in session, that's when we're allowed to blow the shofar. Ask the Gemara a different, and that's very consistent with the opinion of Rav Huna. Moshe Rav Sheshes asks Rav Sheshes on what Rav Huna just said. We learned in a brisa, Shavu Yovel Rosh Hashanah Litkia. We learned that the halacha is that the same way we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar on Yovel and on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, the brachas. And we blow and we say the same musaf brachas in that Yom Kippur as we do on Rosh Hashanah. Ella, what's the difference? Whether it's the Bezdin of 71 Dayanim that has the ability to be Mekadosh to Chodesh, or Beim Bezdin, Shloike Shabbos Chodesh, in the same, in every other Bezdin. Whereas the kain the kol yachv yachid chayv with koya, and on yovel every individual is chayv to blow the shofar. Rosh Hashanah lo yotaken av bezin shekitsh by sechaydish. Whereas in Rosh Hashanah, that's on Shabbos, we only blow the shofar in the bezdin. Then kol yachv yachid chayv with koya. And as I saw the Rishonim explain how do we understand this Gemara? Because the chiyuv of blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is very different than the chiyuv of blowing the shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel. The chiyuv on Rosh Hashanah is a chiyuv that we have, is a chiyuv in hearing the shofar. Whereas the chiyuv on Yovel is not a chiyuv, not just a chiyuv to hear the shofar, but it's a chiyuv to blow the shofar. Now, we just learned, my enko yachid v'yachid l'chayiv l'tkaya. What does it mean when the Brisa said in Rosh Hashanah, not every individual is obligated to blow? Elam to be yovel toikin yechidim. That in yovel, every individual blows the shofar. Rosh Hashanah ain't toikin yechidim. But Rosh Hashanah, that isn't allowed. Says the Gemara, that can't be true. V'kiyasar av yitzah b'yosef, omen ki'av m'sayim shlichat z'burah d'kiyasar b'yavna. When they finish blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, l'shama inish ka'unim y'kal t'kiyah. So we see that everybody blew the shofar, and even though they just heard the shofar, elav, b'yoyvel toikin b'yim b'zman sh'mein b'ezdin b'yim sh'loi b'zman b'ezdin. What the Brisa means to say is that in yoyvel we blow the shofar whether Bezdin's in session or Bezdin's not in session. Rosh Hashanah b'zman Bezdin in, Shlai b'zman Bezdin loy. So we see that the Brice is saying that Yovel is not that way. K'tani, but what does it say here? K'tani means be Yovel, Bein b'zman Bezdin, Bein Shlai b'zman Bezdin. Not like Rav Huna, who says that we only allow the blowing of the shofar when Bezdin is in session. Loy, says the Gemara, Oilem b'zman Bezdin. What the Brice means to say is only in the z'man Bezdin. V'ach k'tani. And this is the way to understand the Braisa, the difference between Yovel and Rosh Hashanah. The Yovel is Man Bezdin, that Yovel we blow the shofar when Bezdin's in session, but when we allow the blowing of the shofar on Yovel, then Taikin Ben Befnei Bezdin Ben Shlai Befnei Bezdin. We allow the blowing of the shofar, whether not necessarily in front of Bezdin. Whereas Rosh Hashanah, Taikim b'zman bezdin. We only allow the blowing of the shofar when bezdin is in session. Taikim b'zman bezdin when bezdin is in session, and only in the zman and only in fnei bezdin. And the explanation is as we just gave, because in Rosh Hashanah the obligation is to hear the shofar, whereas in Yovel the obligation is to blow the shofar, and that's why we treat Yovel differently. It menami. And says the Gemara, now we're going to support what Rav Huna has been teaching us. Itmanami Amrab Chiba Gamda, Amrab Yosef and Shol Amar Rebbe, Ain Toiken El Kozman Shebezdin Yoshvin. We only blow the shofar where Bezdin is in session, then we are allowed to blow the shofar. By Rav Zera. So now Rav Zera asks a detail. Ninaru Namid. The Bezdin didn't actually get off from their place, but they're preparing to leave. Loyamdu. But they didn't actually leave the Bezdin. How do we look at that situation? Mahu, Bezdin Yoshim Binan, do we need the Bezdin to be, it's the time the Bezdin is in session, Vayeka? They are there. Idilma Bezdin, Zman Bezdin Binan, and not just that they're there, it has to be when they're actually ready to be in session. And here, Vileka, because they're ready to leave. And the Gemara says, a teiku. The Mishnah said, in another way, Yerushalayim was different than Yavna, because as we explained, Yerushalayim, the surrounding cities are included, whereas in Yavna they're not. Raya, and we learned a number of different conditions that differentiated Yerushalayim from Yavna. Raya pratli ir yeshavs benachal. If there's a city in a valley that you can't see Yerushalayim, if they're too low and they can't see Yerushalayim. Shemas Pratlish Yoshev's Barashahar, that even though that other city could see Yerushalayim, because that other city is higher than Yerushalayim, but because it's not on the same level, they can't hear the call shofar. Krat Pratli Yoshev's Lchotzotchum. If it's outside 2,000 Amos from Yerushalayim, it no longer can be considered Kroiva. V'chal Lover, and that it could arrive there. Prat lemafsuk lenarav. There's a river separating this city and Yerushalayim, even though they're maybe not so far, they're within 2,000 amma, but since there's a river in between, and of course we know that on Shabbos and Yontif, one may not travel on or through a river. So then you're not allowed, that city would prevent Yerushalayim, that city, from being considered close to Yerushalayim. So we just had a discussion in the Gemara, what is the halacha during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and what, if Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos, when, where can we blow the shofar? So we learned in the Mishnah that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we only could blow the shofar in the Mikdash. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai enacted that the shofar could be blown anywhere where there's a Beis Din. So, Rabbi explained in our previous year, the reason why we may not blow the shofar on outside the Beis HaMikdash, because of the concern of Shevin Yavarenu, Dalar Amos B'Shus Rabbim. And as we explained in our previous year, Rashi's opinion is that no Mishnah says Mikdash, it means only the Beis HaMikdash itself. The Rambam says it refers to the entire Yerushalayim. And as we just learned, the Mishnah also taught us that Yerushalayim was given an advantage over other places where there's a Beis Din, because neighboring towns of Yerushalayim were allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbos, whereas other cities, they were permitted only in the place of Beis Din itself. So Tosfos, the very Maskil Avoloi Medina, explains that even though originally blowing the shofar on Shabbos was permitted only in the Beis HaMikdash, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai allowed for the blowing of shofar anywhere in Yerushalayim, not just in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because, explains Tosfos, that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai wanted to continue some form of blowing the shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, because as we learned earlier, blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is so critical to our success during the year. And because of that, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said that the shofar may be blown on Shabbos in the presence of Beis Din. It's very interesting that in the year 1871, Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos. When the Aruch HaNer gave his Shabbos Shuvah drasha, he says, if we look at the history, we'll see that on years when Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos, terrible things happened to Klal Yisrael on Shabbos. And he based it on what we learned on Daf Tazayin Amud Beis, that every year when we don't blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, that year is, we have to be concerned about what's going to happen that year. And he said, in fact, that both years in which the Bate Mikdash were destroyed, Beis HaMikdash Rishon and Beis HaMikdash Sheni, were years when Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos. And that's why he said that in such a year, when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, we should be very careful and extra careful in doing tshuva, because that will serve instead of blowing the shofar. So now we learn, that was the primary point of today's shir, that when Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said shofar could be blown on Shabbos, it in the presence of Beis Din. So Rashi explains that what is meant by a Beis Din, it has to be a Beis Din of 23 Dayanim. And that's why the whole halacha of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai doesn't apply b'zman hazeh, because we no longer have a Beis Din of 23 Dayanim. The Rif, however, says that it could be blown in any place where there's a Beis Din of 3 Dayanim, and even if we, but then is another concern, the Dayanim, the Rabbanim, b'zman hazeh don't have smicha. They aren't part of an unbroken chain of receiving smicha going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. As long as you have 3 dayanim, that's enough. But writes the Rosh that even the Rif, who takes this lenient opinion, is only lenient if the Beis Din, if that Beis Din of 3 dayanim is Beis Din HaGodl U'Muflag B'Doyre. It's the most distinguished Beis Din in its time. So says the Rosh, that the Rif, being the Gadol B'Yisrael in his time, followed his own ruling and would blow the shofar in his Beis Din in Morocco when Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos. But says the Rosh that this psak of the Rif was not continued by any of his Talmidim. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch just writes that when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, no one blows the shofar, because the Shulchan Aruch says that we don't have such a Beis Din b'zman hazeh. There's a famous discussion. There was a great Talmud Chacham, Rav Akiva Yosef Schlesinger, who wrote the Sefer Lev Ivri, who wanted to institute blowing the shofar in Yerushalayim when Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos. And the main reason he wanted to do so goes back to what we discussed a moment ago from the Aruch HaNer, where the Aruch HaNer is so concerned that we should never miss blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, even if it fell on Shabbos. And he wanted to get together all the great Rabbanim who lived in Yerushalayim at that time to come to the old city of Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaKnesses of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as we're learning, who put in this plan of blowing the shofar on Shabbos, blowing the shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. And at the beginning, many of the Gedolei Yisrael agreed with him and said they would attend and we would have blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. But actually, when Rosh Hashanah ultimately fell on Shabbos, very few people, he blew the shofar, but very few people participated with him. Our Gemara spoke about the concept of Ish Ubeisai. And typically, where we find the concept of Ish Ubeisai in Halacha is regarding Chanukah, that the mitzvah near Chanukah is Ish Ubeisai. So I saw a very interesting shaila that the Chishuk Yechem discusses. Normally, the husband lights the menorah in the home, and the husband lights the menorah in the home before, and it satisfies his wife's obligation to have the Chanukah candles lit on her behalf. But says the Chishuk Yechem, there was a couple that the husband lived in one city and the wife lived in a different city, and they were getting married. The husband, during Chanukah, the wedding was on Chanukah, the husband came to the apartment where this couple will in Mitzvah Shem live on the day of the wedding and lit the menorah there. His wife's father did not light the menorah. His plan was only lighting the menorah after the wedding. So this kala was not yoytze the mitzvah of lighting menorah, because in the afternoon where her future husband lit the menorah, when and where the husband lit the menorah, they weren't married. So they weren't Ish Ubeisai. At night, when her father lights the menorah, she's no longer part of his family. She's Baruch Hashem already married. And therefore, when she comes home from the wedding, she has to light the menorah when in their new home. Says the Mishnah, B'Rishayna Yalur lifted the Migdash. Originally, the Lula was taken to the base of Migdash, Shiva, all 7 days of Sukkos. Medina, and again, following Rashi's Pshat, it was taken outside of the base of Migdash, even in Yerushalayim, it was taken Yom Echad. B'Shachar base of Migdash, once the base of Migdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Mazakai, Sheyi Lulav Nitl Medina, that the Lulav should be taken even outside Shiva all 7 days, Zeich LeMikdash. This halacha that we in Midaraisa, the chiv of taking the dalaminim is only in the first day, all 7 days, is because the Torah says the semachtim of Fnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. As we mentioned a few moments ago, whenever our Mishnah uses the word Migdash, we have the machloikus of Rashi and the Rambam. What is the definition of Migdash? And Rashi says Migdash means the base of Migdash, but the Rambam says the Migdash means anywhere in Yerushalayim. So says the Bikurei Yaakov that according to the Rambam, even Bezman, that's the Aloch Medaraisa, so Bezman is there, somebody who takes the Dalaminim in Yerushalayim. When we learned Masechta Sukkah, we learned the differences in halacha regarding the kashrus of the dalminim between the first day, where there's a chiv deraisa to take the dalminim, and the other days of Sukkot, where there is no chiv deraisa. But according to the Rambam, all 7 days, there's a chiv to take the dalminim. So if all 7 days there's a chiv deraisa to take the dalminim, all of those differences no longer apply. Why did he do it? So as we're learning, he did it Zeich LeMikdash. So I saw that the Shibali Leket asks that the minig is that after we count the Sfira, we say a Yehi Ratzon. We say So the question is, why don't we say that this, by lulav, also that we're taking the lulav that we just learned, only zeichel migdash, we should say such a he rotzen. So the Shbala Lekka answers, because the lulav that we're taking all 7 days, albeit is not a chi of the raisa, but it's the same lulav that was taken during the 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. Whereas the Omer that we're doing today, of course, as we learned and will learn, is a very, very different type of Omer. And therefore, the Omer, we say Yiratzen, that now we're not doing it in the proper form. That in those days, we will do it in the proper form. Furthermore, when the Mishnah says that we took all 7 days, Zeich LeMikdash, it doesn't mean all 7 days. Because one of those 7 days is going to be Shabbos. So even though Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is telling us that we're allowed to take the lulav all 7 days, we take the lulav all 7 days, Zeich LeMikdash, never did he mean that it should be on Shabbos as well. So ask the Sfas Emes, why is there no issue about Toysef? Midaraisa, the chiv of taking the lulav is only on the one day. Now, Zeich LeMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai tells us to take it all 7 days. Why is that not considered Zeich LeMikdash? So the Sfas Emes answers that since if in one place there is no concern of Zeich LeMikdash about Toysef, and the Beis HaMikdash there's no problem about Toysef, so that makes that everywhere else, even though there is no Chiyuv, there shouldn't be a problem about Toysef. The Brisker Rav says that when somebody takes the lulav all 7 days, chutz lebeis, like we do b'zman hazeh, we should have in mind that we're doing it specifically to fulfill Zeich LeMikdash. As we're going to learn in the Gemara, there is a point in doing Zeich LeMikdash. And since that's the entire reason we're doing it, we're not doing it in any form to fulfill the mitzvah of Dal Minam. That's why there is no problem of Zeich LeMikdash. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Sheheya Yoyim Anaf, Kulay Asr. The halacha is that on Tezayim Nisan, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim, they brought the Korban Omer, and from when they brought the Korban Omer, they were allowed to eat the Chadosh. So he says that now we don't have a Korban, and the Gemara is going to explain this more at length in a moment. We can't eat the Chadosh until after Tezayim Nisan, until after the second day of Pesach. So there's a very famous story where the Brisker Rav once met the brother, Rav Moshe Betzalel, the brother of the Imre Emes. And the Brisker Rav asked, we don't understand our Mishnah, because our Mishnah told us about these two rules that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted about the lulav all 7 days, the dalminim all 7 days, and Yom Naf Kola Asar. So Tosfos points out in Masechta Sukkah that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made many rules. Why are these two rules mentioned here? So he says, these two rules, Tosfos says, were instituted at the same time. So, but there's a question. We have a similar Mishnah in Masechta Menachos. Why in Masechta Menachos so we can understand why these two rules are taught together. But the question is, the Mishnah Masechta Menachos only mentions the halach about the Omer. Our Mishnah mentions both Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's rule about the Dal Minim and also his rule about the Omer. Why is there a difference? So he said a beautiful pshat. Our Mishnah taught us that you're not allowed to, we take the Dal Minim all 7 days of Sukkot. Why do we take it all 7 days of Sukkot? Because Zeich LeMikdash. So explained the Imre Emes. That means when people heard this rule, they were very upset. Why were they very upset? Because they saw that the Beis HaMikdash is not getting rebuilt anytime soon. Because the Beis HaMikdash was getting rebuilt anytime soon, we wouldn't need to make a Zeich LeMikdash. They were distraught. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai also made a rule, as we're going to explain that rule soon in the Gemara, that Yoy Manaf, the second day of Pesach, you were not allowed to eat the Omer. And that will help us feel better. Because the Gemara says, because Meheri Yibanam Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to think that the same time we ate last year, we're allowed to eat this year. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, in order to console them, said, don't lose hope. Don't think that just because I made the rule about the Dal Minim, it means that the Beis HaMikdash is not, under any circumstances, getting rebuilt anytime soon. Ask the Gemara, Manolan Davidin Zechel HaMikdash, and from where do we know that there's a point to make Zechel HaMikdash? Answers the Gemara, the Amar Krah, the Pasuk says, Ki Ala Aruch Halach, Mekasayich, Apech Num Hashem, Ki Nidach Karlach, Tzion Hi Dairish Einlo. The Pasuk speaks about nobody being concerned about Tzion. Says the Gemara, Mechlal, the Bayi Drisha, that Tzion does need to be remembered. And that's why, and it's very similar to what we explained from the Brisker Rav, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Orbach Sitzal, used to tell people when they take the Dal Minim, all 7 days of Sukkot, because Zeichel HaMikdash, as we're learning now, they should have in mind that what are they doing by fulfilling this mitzvah? What they're doing to fulfill this, by doing this, that we're saying that we're doing it Zeichel HaMikdash, we're fulfilling Tzion Ein Dorish Ein Lo. And I saw that the Mefarshim explained, the Pasuk says, Ki Ela Aruch Halach. Ela stands for Esrig Arovis Lulav Hadassim. And that's what we see from this Pasuk, that there's a point to take the Dal Minim, that all 7 days, Zeichel HaMikdash. And in fact, that I saw the Pshat is Doirush Ein Lo, Mechlal, the Boy Drisha. So the Imre Emes explained that we know that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And how will the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt? When we'll have Tol Achtus. And that's when it'll be Doirush Ein Lo, it'll be a Lashon Yachid, that when all of us are together in the Beis HaMikdash, where all of us are ba'achdus, we will be zoicha b'kar b'yameinu to have the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, there are a number of halachas that are done, that were interesting halacha, zeicha l'mikdash. One is that the Shulchan Aruch says that when one puts on the talus in the morning, he should separate the strings of the tzitzis Now, actually, that halacha was instituted to separate the white strings from the tchela strings. We, most people, don't have tchelas b'zman hazeh. We still do so, zeicha l'migdash. And the same is that we say kabbonis every day before davening, zeicha l'migdash. We also have a minig that when we say tachnun, we put our heads down. Where does that minig come from? That minute comes from the Gemara says that even though there was a large crowd in the Beis HaMikdash, when everybody said vidui in the Beis HaMikdash, nobody was able to hear what the next person was saying. So the saying, we put our heads down and daven very privately when we say tachnun to commemorate that. Similarly, we've discussed previously for Shavuos, the days of Tashlumim of Shavuos, we don't say tachnun, zeicha l'migdash. Another halminig is that in shuls, there's a ner tamid lit in front of the Aron Kodesh. Because just like the menorah was on all of the time, the same thing was they had we have in shuls a ner tamid on in front of the Aron HaKodesh to constantly remind us of the menorah that was on all of the time in the Beis HaMikdash. So we learned in the Mishnah, as we discussed briefly, sheyoy manaf kula asr, that the second day of Pesach we're not allowed to eat chadash. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why did Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai make such a rule? Says the Gemara, because Meheri Yibanam Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was certain that soon the Beis HaMikdash will be built. V'yayimru, ishtaked, lish yemilo echal na Beheri Mizrach. The halacha is that when the Beis HaMikdash, that when there's no Beis HaMikdash, as soon as the morning of the second day of Pesach comes, we're allowed to eat the Chodesh. And people will say, the last year we ate the Chodesh right in the morning, And achshav nami nechol. Now, even though we have a base of mikdash, we should be permitted to eat the chadash right away in the morning. The loyadi, but they won't realize. The shtakad last year loyava oimer, there was no carbon, and since there was no carbon, hair mizrcheter. As soon as the second day in the morning begins, you're allowed to eat the chadash. Hashta, however, this year dika oimer, we have a oimer. Aimer matter. We have to wait for the carbon, which is not first thing in the morning. Ask the Gemara. Divni Amos. What is the case that we're speaking about that the Beis Hamikdash was rebuilt? Ilam divnis b'shitzer. If it's going to be built on the second day of Pesach, so then the halacha is harei hizruch meir mizruch hitter. As soon as the sun comes up, and the Beis Hamikdash was unfortunately not there, we should be allowed to eat the aimer, the chadash. Ela divne b'chameser. It was built on the first day of Yontif. So if it was built on the first day of Yontif, they'll bring a carbon aimer on the second day of Yontif. And the carbon aimer was always brought before Chatzos. Ela, mechatzos yom lahal nishteri. So yes, we should be worried about that, but why do we have to wait for the day to be over? By Chatzos, the carbon was brought. Dotanan, haven't we learned in Masechta Menachos, Daf Samech Ches Amar Aleph, Haruchaykim, people who did not live in Yerushalayim, at what point may they eat the chadash? After chatzos, they could eat the chadash. But the time chatzos comes, we can be certain that the carbon aim was brought. Answers the Gemara, it was built towards the shkia. Inami, divne belayla, was built by night. And the preparation of the aimer was a big deal, and since it was a big deal, therefore it won't, and we weren't prepared for it beforehand, and it won't be brought so early in the day, it'll take the entire day to bring the carbon. So many, Rashi asked the question, how could it be built on the first day of Pesach? The halacha is that the Beis HaMikdash is not built on Shabbos, it's not built on Yontif. The first day of Pesach is a Yontif. So Rashi answers, that the first day that the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, which we are anticipating, B'mehera B'yameinu, is going to come down complete from Shemayim. And since it's going to come down complete from Shemayim, as the Pasuk says, Mikdash Hashem, Kanu Yodecha, it doesn't involve any building. The Chavetz Chaim used to say, it'll depend. If the time when Mashiach will come, B'mehera B'yameinu, will be a time where people are doing what's right, they will be given the schus to build the Beis HaMikdash. In other times, we won't have that schus and it'll come down ready min Hashemayim. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe said a different pshat. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said that because, of course, the Gemara says that everybody is going to participate, that we're going to participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that the Beis HaMikdash will come down complete from Shemayim. All we're going to have to do is put on the doors. And he proves from a Gemara Masechta Baba Basra that if somebody puts up the doors, that's considered as if he built the house. And that's pshat what we say in the tefillos on the Yom Haneronim. We say on the Shalosh Regalim, V'areinu b'binyanoi v'samcheinu b'sukunoi. V'areinu b'binyanoi. We're saying Vaharenu b'binyanu. We're not going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Vaharenu. We're just going to see as the Beis HaMikdash comes down from Shemayim, as we just said. V'sachenu b'tikunoi. What are we going to do? We're going to do the last finishing touch of putting up the doors. And that's why the two opinions that say that the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down, ready made in a Shemayim, and the other opinion that says that we're going to participate actually in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, both of those opinions are correct. The Beis HaMikdash will come down ready, min Hashemayim. And we're just going to put up the final touches of, Tekeni B'Tikunai, putting up the door. And therefore, when the Gemara says it's going to happen on Pesach, it's understandable. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Rav Yochim HaZakai, that says they will not let eat the Chadosh until the end of the second day, the Shittas Rabbi Yehuda is following the opinion of Yehuda. Domer, the pasuk that discusses till when may we not eat the chadash, says ad etzem ayoyim azeh, ad atzma shal yoyim. The ksav ad v'ad b'chlal, that means the entire second day of Pesach we may not eat the chadash. Ask the Gemara, Umisava Lakava say, does Rabbi Yochanan and Zakeh agree with Rabbi Yehuda? For Miflik Poligalei, we find that they disagree. The Tanan, the Mishnah, Masechta, Menachos, Tav, Sam, Chesom, and Aleph teaches us. Mishchar Beis and Migdish, Hiskar Rabbi Yochanan and Zakeh, Sheyei Manaf Kula Asa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda said to him, I don't need a rule from Rabbi Yochanan and Zakeh, for I may not Tairu Asa. Already with the Raisa, we may not eat the Chadash until the end of the second day, because the Pasuk says, Ad Etzem, Hayyam Azeh. Answers the Gemara, Hossam, who Rabbi Yehuda the Toy. In the Mishnah Masechta Menachos, Rabbi Yehuda was misunderstanding what Rabbi Yochanan and Zakeh said. Ihu Sover, Rabbi Yehuda thought, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakeh Midrabbanan Kama. Rabbi Yochanan and Zakeh was saying his rule Midrabbanan. Velohi, that's not what he meant. Midaraisa Kama. What he was saying is the Midaraisa, when there is no carbon oimer, we may not eat the Chadash until the end of the second day of Yontif. But ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's what he meant? For his Kinktani, doesn't the Mishnah clearly say that he instituted this? That means it's only Drabonon? Says the Gemara, my Hiskin, the definition of Hiskin in our Mishnah is not to say that he instituted such a rule with Drabonon, but rather the way to understand it is Dorish. So as we've been learning, originally the way Rosh Chodesh was declared was by Edom coming and saying they saw the new moon. And we find different phases in our history. As Rashi says, our Mishnah is speaking primarily by Rosh Hashanah. But then, once this Dalach Rosh Hashanah, it's all months of the year as well. The first phase was that they accepted Edom on Lamed Aleph, on Lamed Elul, anytime during the day. And they made Rosh Hashanah that day, whenever, as long as Edom came. If no Edom came that day to say this is the new moon, then Rosh Hashanah was on Lamed Aleph Elul was Echad Tishrei. And if that was the case, they made Rosh Hashanah on Lamed Aleph, but both days were kept as Rosh Hashanah because the first day was kept out of concern that the Edom may come. The next phase in our history was that they only accepted Edom until Mincha. And if Edom came till Mincha, that day was Rosh Hashanah. But if they came after Mincha, then Rosh Hashanah was the second day. But they kept both days as Rosh Hashanah. The third point was after the Churban, where Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh said we should go back to the original minig, that we took Edom all day long. And then we have the current Kufa, where everybody keeps 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So says the Gemara, Berishayna originally, as we just explained, Bekam Edus Chodesh Kol Yom. We accepted Edom on Rosh Hashanah, on Lamed Elul, the entire day. But says the Mishnah, Pamach Neshtai Edom Lovi, the Edom did not come on that day, till late in the day, Neskal Kol Avim Bashir. And there was a problem, what Shira to sing? Should they sing by the Karban Tamid Shebein Abayim? Should they sing the Shira that they always sing because of that day of the week? Or should they sing the Shira of Rosh Hashanah? Heskinu, because of that, they made a rule, Shalem Kam Ela Adam Mincha, that they should only take Edom and accept Edom until Mincha. Vimba Edom, if Edom come in a Mincha Lamala, afterwards, Noyagim Oysa Yom Kodesh, that day was considered Kodesh, Ulamacha Kodesh. Bishchar Beis HaMikdash, and once the Beis HaMikdash was unfortunately destroyed, and the concern of saying the Shira, the wrong Shira, obviously there's no Karban Tamid, falls away. Hiskar Yochanan and Zakeh, Shemekam Eidus HaChodesh Kol Hayom. They take Edom all day. So here we see that the Levim made a mistake with the Shira. So the question is, obviously they said Shira by Mincha. The question is, why didn't we say Shira by Mincha? So the Alshach explains that the Shira by the Tamid Shachar was essential. The Shira by the Tamid Shalbein Abayim wasn't essential. The Magen Avraham explains, and that's why we don't say Shira. The Magen Avraham says, the Shira of Shachris, if you missed it saying it by Shachris, you could say it all day. The Shira of the Tamid Shalbein Abayim, there was no makeup time. And that's why, because there's no way, it's limited to the time of Mincha, we only do it by Mincha. It's very also interesting to point out, we're concerned about the Shira, but we don't find that we're concerned about the Musaf. Why are we more concerned, asked Taisus, about the Shira than we are about the Musaf? So Taisus says that after the carbon Tamid Shaben Abayim, even though the halacha is that Tamid Shaben Abayim is the last carbon that's brought every day, a carbon Tzibur, a carbon Musaf, could be brought even after Tamid Shaben Abayim. So if the Edom came late, we could still make up the carbon Musaf. But the carbon, the Shira, is only said, as we just said, by the Tamid Shaben Abayim. And once it's said by the Tamid Shaben Abayim, the halacha is that's why if we're going to miss it, we're going to say the wrong Shira, we're more concerned about that than we are about the Musaf. Says the one, what is it meant when we learned Kilkul Alevim Bashir? Hacha Tagimu, and Bavel, they explained, Shloi Amr Shira Kalakar, that they didn't say Shira by the Tamid Shaben Abayim, because they didn't know is today a weekday or is today Rosh Hashanah. And because of that, they didn't say any Shira. Rav Zeira Amr Shira Shachal, they said they treated it like a weekday and Tamid Shaben Abayim. The Rishonim point out that the Gemara is only focused about the Tamid Shaben Abayim. But at Tamid Shachris, they always said the weekday because they never had Eidim by then. Go teach the following brice to the people in Bavel. So we see that, again, they were concerned about the Shira. If we're going to say that they said the Shira on that day, if the Edom didn't arrive, they said the Shira of that day of the week, they said the wrong Shira. Eli Amrit, if you're going to say that they didn't say Shira at all, my Shibishika, says the Gemara, that isn't compelling. It could be they didn't, since they didn't know what that day is, they didn't say any Shira. However, Kim de Loyama Klal, not saying any Shira, Ein Lecha Shibis Golmiza, that's considered a huge mistake as well, missing the Shira that we're obligated to say. Masr Ravacha Brahuna, Tamid Shal Roshana Shachris, Karv Kachasa, we brought the Karv Tamid and as usual, and as we just said, they said the day of the week Shira. But Musaf Ma'o Oimer, what did they say by the Shira that they said by Musaf? They said, Hareinu Alakim Uzenu, Horil Alakay Yaakov, which very much is related to the blowing the shofar, and that's why it's a Shira that's appropriate for Rosh Hashanah. But Mincha, by the Tamid Shabayin Abayin Ma'o Oimer, Kol Hashem Yochel Midbar, which again speaks about shofar. Says the Brisa, if Rosh Hashanah is on Thursday, Hashira Shloyarinu Alakeu Zeinu, which the Shira is Arielakeinu Zeinu, they didn't say that part in the morning. They're going to say that part when they bring the Musaf. Elmao Omer, what did they say? They started from the middle of that perek by starting with the words Hasiroisi Misevil Shechma. And the reason we start in the morning from there is because Hasirois Misevil Shechma refers to Yosef HaTzadik, who was freed on Rosh Hashanah from being in prison. Vimbar Edom Acha Tamid Shal Shachar, and the Edom came after Tamid Shal Shachar, and therefore, since we didn't know if Edom are going to come, we said the entire parak in the morning. Omer Harininu. Then by Musaf, we start Harininu, even though it means saying over the entire parak. Narav Achbar Huna makes his point that how we see from this price is like Reb Zeira. Yamrit, if we're going to say B'shalom, the call Hechdem Estapka, whenever we don't know what to say, Amrinu Shishinu Dechol, Haina Dekama, Amr V'Kaifle, they said in the morning, they said in the afternoon. Eli Amrit, Loya Maklal, that when you don't know what to do, you don't say, my Amr V'Kaifle, what's Peshat that we said, repeat it. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam, the Shira de Yomahu. When is the halacha that we don't say anything? When we don't know what to do. But if this is the Shira that belongs to this day of the week, this is the Shira of Thursday, there, even though we're not sure if today is going to be Rosh Hashanah or not, we say that Shira because it's anyway Thursday under any circumstances.